Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We're trying to get to the bottom of this meat study. New research published this week in the Internal Medicine in JAMA, J-A-M-A, found that eating two servings of red meat or processed meat weekly is associated with a 3 to 7% higher risk of cardiovascular disease, such as heart attack and stroke, and a 3% higher risk of death from all causes. With us to talk about all this, Professor of Preventive Medicine at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine, Linda Van Horn. The research was done by Northwestern folks. Good morning, Linda. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm fine.
I'm not fine because I'm very confused because this study seems to say something different than the last study on meat that was in the news. Can you clear this up for us? What are we supposed to do?
Yes, I recognize the confusion and I sympathize, believe me. In the world of research, it's a dynamic process and every study reveals something new. In this case, I think it's a matter of recognition that the prior studies have been criticized heavily for some of their statistical analyses and flaws in some of the methodology that have been determined to really alter the interpretation of those results. I think that is why the study that was published just recently now in JAMA Internal Medicine is offering a new insight given the fact that these are data collected from six different cohorts of individuals, over 29,000 people. And these are studies that are sort of the granddaddies of longitudinal cohort studies, including things like the Framingham study, which most people know is sort of the bedrock of cardiovascular research, and the Framingham offspring study, and four other very well-known cohort studies with really good data that were collected in a pristine manner and analyzed very carefully. And thus, I think the results here, especially speaking as a nutritionist, really do justice to some of the dietary data that often go unrecognized or unquantified in most other studies. So in this one, pooling these data together and offering an epidemiological approach, meaning big numbers, really provide a more meaningful and robust result, showing again that eating more meat, especially processed meat, can be disadvantageous in both cardiovascular and all-cause mortality.
Now, this study that was in the news back in October that we're referring to, that's adding to the confusion, that study said there was insufficient evidence to recommend people reduce their meat intake. And what you're saying is this study really tapped into many more people over a longer period of time and seems to be a better study on this question. Do I have that right?
Correct. Yes, that's correct. I'm personally familiar with some of, specifically the diet data that were collected in some of these cohorts, and the ability to tease out these kinds of results, and looking at the benefit of, you know, 19 years of data really provides an amazing amount of strength and make these results fairly robust.
Okay, give me the bottom line now then on red meat, on poultry, and I know and fish too. What can you tell us about all of that?
All right. Well, I'm happy to say, you know, from a nutritional point of view, all is not lost here. It doesn't mean you can never eat meat or anything like that. However, it does continue to add to the growing evidence suggesting that more plant-based proteins from, you know, foods like beans and nuts and other plant-based sources, as well as fish, should really compromise or comprise the majority of a person's intake over time, so that you can indulge, for example, occasionally in red meat if you like it. You know, the most amazing thing looking at this over time is that the more people eat that way, more fruits and nuts and vegetables and whole grains and fish, the less interested they are in eating the red and processed meat. Hmm. So that doesn't mean you can't eat it. It's just that over time, as you shift your focus, you find yourself wanting it less and less often.
Did the study tell us anything about poultry, about chicken?
Yeah, poultry, the finding in poultry is interesting, and the problem with getting down to the specifics related to that, because, of course, we've often recommended chicken or turkey as an alternative to red meat. And I believe that once we are able to look more specifically at the methodology, obviously deep fat fried chicken is a very different dietary intake than eating broiled or grilled or roasted chicken. And these data were not specific in regard to the preparation techniques. And back in the early days when, trans fatty acids were very much a part of the diet, and when you deep fat fry, you increase exposure to trans fats. So any deep fat fried food, and obviously chicken is one of those, may be the source, not the chicken, but the method of preparation.
And what about all these impossible burgers and various imitation plant-based foods now?
Right,
what about those?
Right. Well, I'm glad you're asking, because I think that's definitely a step in the right direction. However, I believe there needs to be further attention paid, again, to the method of preparation. Many of those products, unfortunately, are processed fairly heavily, and often when processing occurs, there's a large amount of sodium and other additives that could compromise the overall nutritional value. But the idea is good, and I believe and American Ingenuity, and they're going to come up with a way to make it not only taste great, but also be nutritious.
I'll tell you what really scared me reading about the study was this line: there is still a risk based on what you ate 20 years ago. Are you kidding me? Really?
Well, the nature of this study is exactly based on that. So we're looking at what people were eating and then following them 19 years later to see what happened to them. And I think the message being sent there is a lifetime of consumption starting as far back as 19 years ago is just additive over those years. So to me, the good news here is it's not too late. As you continue to grow older and perhaps more concerned about your health, it's a good idea to try to offload some of those eating habits that may have been not the best choices as we discover more and more about what are.
You know, who didn't have pizza and french fries and other healthy items like that during the college years?
Exactly.
I mean, my theory has always been that that was okay because the good Lord designed your body to withstand that at a younger age. You just need to be healthier as you get older. That's my theory.
Well, that's an interesting theory that many people believed for many, many years, but we're actually in the midst of doing research that suggests that your health actually and nutritional benefits start in utero. It's not so much what you ate, it's what your mother ate that really launches you toward a healthy lifestyle.
Well, I'm not worried about that because my mom was pretty healthy and she made it to 97. The problem
All
right. was, well, once I came out into the world, that's when the trouble started. And, just thinking of all the junk food I ate. And, none of us were as aware as we are now about what's in our food, right?
Right. Well, I think that's why research is important, because every day we're learning something new. But I do believe that the good news, the take-home message here, is not that all is lost, rather that recognition of these kinds of eating behaviors is a a touch point that one should take seriously going forward in life, whatever your age is, and recognizing, again, speaking as a nutritionist, that the benefits of the fruit, vegetable, plant-based foods are tremendous. And if you avoid those foods, you're denying your body of the very things that the good Lord did intend for you to be eating. So I do think, you know, it's not a matter of all is hopeless, rather just the opposite, that, wow, glad I learned this now, and I'm starting to make some changes as I go forward.
Well, I'll be thinking about you at lunch and dinner, for sure. Linda Van Horn, professor of preventive medicine at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine, thanks for helping us understand this research that's been in the news this week about meat. Appreciate that, Linda.
Oh, thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Have a good day.
Enjoy. You too. Thanks.